Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and you're listening to the Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, good morning. It's David here from the Kick-Ass Life Show. And welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, which means I have not just one guest today. I actually have two guests. And I'm really excited about that, as you know. for those of you joining, we have so many new people joining the show from around the world, 175 countries now. So welcome, and I really urge you, if you're brand new, go back into the archives and find the style of show you love. There are so many guests, from Tim Ferriss to Lisa Nichols, Marcy Shymoff, John Assaraf, Jack Canfield, Don Miguel Ruiz. I mean, there's so many great shows on adventure, on love, on relationships, purpose, passion. And some really fun shows, goofy shows, four very unique styles. And I urge you to choose the style that you love, or if you love them all, great, that's awesome. But don't be afraid to dig around and really find the message that's calling for you. I wanted to start today with a quote by Anne Frank. She says, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world." And the only difference between Anne's philosophy and my own is that I do believe that the way to impact the world is to start by impacting our own world. And it's really when we impact our own world that the world starts to change, because we really ultimately see the world as we are. And so if we are in, you know, darkness, if there's negativity in our life, if we're full of regret or hate or any of the other dark emotions, then typically that's how we see the world. But the world is a wonderful place, so let's start right there. Slippery finger. Yesterday I was in Mexico, and I'm still on the road, so this is a portable studio, so doing the best I can with the setup we have right here. I'm in Phoenix today, really excited. I'm teaching a program here for the next 3 days. It's one of my beginner trainer programs called Powerful Presentations. But I'm still so full from the experience in Mexico, and so many stories, so many memories, so many colors, so vibrant. And I'll be sharing that in the coming weeks to come. But before we introduce the guests, I thought I would let some great people introduce them. How about the Dalai Lama, or Jack Canfield, Michael Beckwith, Janet Atwood. Some of these are very, very close friends of mine. And they are, our guests today are the creators of a beautiful movie, and with a beautiful message. So instead of me telling you, even Ken Robinson, I mean, one of the top hits on YouTube, if you haven't watched his YouTube video on schools, I really urge you to watch it. It's very, very powerful. But let me allow them to introduce this beautiful subject. So let's sit back and enjoy this.
How many people do you know who don't enjoy what they do? You know, who endure their lives rather than enjoy them?
You know, life itself is a gift. So we need to unwrap the gift that life has offered to us and discover really what is inside of us.
Self-discovery is what the game is all about. We want to discover who we really are.
It's this continual state of being, and then bringing that into your moment-to-moment interactions and into your moment-to-moment life. It's about being a light, reflecting it everywhere you go.
Long-lasting happiness can only come when we're sharing our gift. It's why we're here.
Every moment is a choice.
And you're either choosing closer to your gift or moving farther away from it. So what do you want to choose?
That was my, the last person there was my good friend Janet Atwood. And it's so true, eh? Every moment is a choice. And I'm glad that you've chosen this moment to listen in to our guest today. And with that beautiful introduction by so many of the world great philosophers and leaders of transformation, I want you to sit back and enjoy the beautiful Sharif and Cheyenne. So I'm always looking for that word when I start a show, and I am actually brimming with excitement, and I have a confession to make. Normally, I am prepared in a different way in the sense I have a deep sense. However, I'm very trusting, and we had a little plumbing incident, and so I'm going to discover my guest on the show, and I'm so excited because even in a few minutes, you can pick up on the beauty of someone's message and the dedication and the commitment to something that's so big, and that's what I get in just a few minutes. So Sharif and Cheyenne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm excited. But, you know, your discover the gift. I need you to just help me here because I asked you the question just a minute ago and I said, you know, tell me just a little bit. And what came out of you was such deep purpose in a few words. And it almost knocked me off my chair. And so tell me, what does it mean to discover the gift?
Well, to discover the gift is about discovering your positive, authentic inner nature and your true wisdom and following your life's path and your life journey from that space. Because when you honor who you really are and what you have to share, you become the light and you become inspired and you become filled with joy and purpose. And then you inspire all those around you to do the same. And that's what Discover the Gift is about. It's about looking for the gift in all your situations, all your circumstances, including your adversities, and finding something beautiful in that to focus on.
You know, and what I love about that, again, especially because you turned that as well into the adversity part, because don't you find a lot of people who are in it, you know, they're going through stuff. Often it's the hardest thing to do is to find the beauty, the light, or the, you know, what the bigger missions is all about when they're in it, right?
Absolutely. I think it is one of the hardest things. And it's one of the biggest questions I get asked regularly since creating this project into the world is how do we discover our gifts, or how do I discover my gift when I'm in pain and when I'm in real adverse conditions and situations? And there are many answers to that question. And one of the first ones I say is begin by taking a moment and focusing on what's right about you. Focus on what's wonderful about you. And when you can focus in that space, what happens is your energy shifts a little bit. So then you start to be able to think a little bit differently. Your breathing changes, and physiologically, you actually get more oxygen into your brain and into your being so that you can feel differently and think more clearly. And, you know, I really think about the gifts in adversity, and I think about the Amber Alert system. Here is, and you know, the Amber Alert system in the nation, we have it for parents who lost their child, someone kidnapped her. And what they did in return was they created a national alert system for the entire nation. When a child is abducted or kidnapped, there's a system that alerts everyone, whether it's on your cell phone, your TV, you're in your car driving. And these parents' worst adversity, they created a gift for our nation. And that's one big way of looking at the gift in a situation. And there are also many small ones.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful analogy. Sharif, I want to bring you in and just, I know that you're very passionate about business, but can you explain how you two are working together with this? You know, how the relationship is in bringing this gift to the world?
Yeah, well, we were married way before this project came to us and started working with it. So we actually were together, and then we started working on this project, and it was a family project, moved to Los Angeles specifically for this project. And so Cheyenne, you know, had a big background in education, and really one of the things is she really supports children and is really there for their growth. And I was working with Damien, her brother, in business. So we ended up having a great synergy where we all melded and came out with Discover the Gift, which is, you know, on many different platforms. One of the things that we did is we did it into a DVD that is more of in a heart ride, an emotional ride. And then also Cheyenne ended up writing the book, which is more of a how-to, because we really wanted to give people some real steps into discovering their gifts. We didn't want to be just an ethereal thought.
Mm. And Cheyenne, you know, you've obviously, the way you're bringing this to the world in so many different mediums, before we go there and we explore deeply into what that is, I'm fascinated how somebody, how you had discovered your own gift, how you started to have these conversations with yourself of that self-love, which I get that sense of from you. Was that always easy, or was there a journey that led to you to the point of that self-discovery before you could bring it to the world?
Oh, that's a great question. And it was a very long journey. I think like everyone who's in their own world and in their awake in their path and their journey feels like sometimes the journey can be tumultuous. However, it was a long journey. And, you know, I lost my mother to a car accident when I was 12. And then my house burnt down to the ground right before she died. So 20 days before she died, our house burnt to the ground. And then she was killed in a car accident. And what happened for me was I was 12 and my whole world collapsed in front of me. There were many other things that happened that I really spell out very clearly in the book. A lot of childhood tragedies for myself and my brother and our family. And we really found triumph eventually through it, through the process of creating and sharing Discover the Gift. However, what I learned at a young age was I was in so much pain emotionally, which, you know, often our emotional pain shows up physically as well, was that when I was 17, I moved from New York back to Vermont where my mom had died and went to college. And it was there that I needed a job. And so I got a job volunteering actually at first, which they said would turn into money, at a parent-child center for abused children. And what happened to me there was phenomenal because I learned very quickly that the more I gave to these children and to these families, the more I was present with them, the more I healed. And not only the more I healed, but the quicker I healed emotionally and spiritually and physically. So that became this selfish gifting journey that I went on, which was to find places to support and help heal children and families because I needed that healing so much myself. And that really became my journey. And then writing has always been one of the things as a hobby of mine. I paint, I drum, and I write. And I've done a lot of academic writing in my time. And so what happened was Sharif had said, you know, we were doing Discover the Gift. We had moved over here, and I was actually getting my PhD. And we were talking about Discover the Gift, and it was called The Gift then as well, something different. And we were really looking at, as a team, what was it about? And I was listening in and listening to the team, and they were gelling, really working on trying to find what it was that we had so much, what they were going to give out, and who's going to be the author. And so I said, well, we should get Jack Canfield to be the author, or Barbara DeAngelis, or I started thinking of all the Janet Atwood, the incredible mentors and teachers in my life. And Sharif said, no, it should be you. And I was like, I can't do that. And he was like, of course you can. And he kept poking me for a couple weeks. And finally, I said, okay. And our literary manager said, well, I've never seen your writing. Can you write? And I said, sure. And he said, great. Write what this is about. Write me a book proposal. I'm going to the London Book Fair. And if you can write, they'll let us know and I'll sell the product. I'll sell the book. I got a bunch of people lined up. I don't even know what it's about. So I said, okay. And I went to town and I wrote the proposal and got it done. And he sold it to how many countries? 20?
Yeah, we ended up selling it to 22
countries at that fair. And that's really what happened. And part of the process was about when doing what you love, part of discovering your gift is about getting really clear about what's wonderful about yourself, about your passions, and then following through on them, taking the action and following through on what you know to be true.
Sharif, and by the way, thank you for that. Sharif, thank you for the poking. and you know, I haven't read the book yet, but I'm excited to read it. And in saying that, Sharif, you know, this, why do you think it is that so many people, you know, in adversity, often discover that greater power and purpose? You know, it's you hear, like, you know, with Cheyenne, you know, the house burning down, the death of her mother, you know, and in those moments, and then sort of in the awakening sometimes is born in that really intense heat, that intense fire. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've read in the past that a lot of people that are enlightened or become enlightened, exactly that, have had a traumatic experience that kind of shifted their consciousness. And then somehow, you know, it shifts the way they were thinking, and they were able to then go into a higher consciousness. I think what it is that, you know, normally most people, we're living in a day-to-day life, and sometimes we look at our problems where we're looking at all the little things, and we can't kind of disassociate ourselves from there, so we can look at the bigger picture and then realize that really there are miracles in the small things in life. And so I think that's one of the things that happens, is that with a stressful situation, it just kind of brings everything into perspective and life, and what are we really here to do? So then we start looking at life in a different fashion. Mm.
I think that's really true. You know, Treif, just when you asked that question, he said that what it brought up for me was, in my moment, what happened for that process is every moment became special. Every moment with every being became special, and especially the moments with the children, because they grow up to us, into us, and they take everything we look and say very literal. And so I think that that's what happened. I think you're totally right, yeah. Treif, that that's exactly what happened. And every moment becomes precious.
And I think the biggest thing is just to stop ourselves from being in the quagmire, or, like, you know, it's kind of like a little whirlpool that goes around and around. And we just need to step away from that, so that we're not constantly spinning in our own brains into the menial things that we put so much value to. And kind of step aside, you know, we can't really look at ourselves. It's hard for somebody to look at yourself. That's why you go and you have kind of a psychologist or a best friend that looks at your situation and you from an outside perspective. I think when something like that happens, it gives you a little taste of the ability to go and look from an outside perspective into, you know, the greater things and your greater passions and visions and where you want to go in life.
Mm. And Cheyenne, you know, you said something which struck me, and I keep hearing it in my head. It's the more I gave, the more I gave to these children, the more I healed, and the quicker I healed. Mm-hmm. You know, there seems to be, and I've interviewed a lot of amazing people, yourself included, this sort of combination of adversity and purpose colliding. What is it? Why do you feel that is? And go in a little deeper into this healing process of contribution and giving, and why that becomes this elixir of change in oneself, or elixir of healing especially. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
I believe so. I think I can grab onto that. For me, and in my experience, it's that we really start to understand that every moment is precious and every being is precious. And what happens is that you start to see life in a very different way. You start to see the individual tree and the entire forest, the individual person and the whole. And the more you give, the more you get. And that's a universal spiritual law. And it's a real, very truthful law. is that the more you give of anything, the more you get it back one way or another. And so to really look at what are you giving and how do you get to that deep place? And I think often for many people, what happens is that we are holding on to so much pain and so much anguish from our childhoods, from the should-haves, the could-haves, the would-haves, what our parents did or didn't do, all of these different things. We live in that space more often than in the space of being present and with the possibility of joy. And what I think is really important is that we have to release that in your heart, which has held you captive for so long. You have to release that. And as soon as you let go of the pain of your past, you become alive in your present moment and you begin to experience joy at a much deeper level. And so part of the process of Discover the Gift is really about reconditioning your mind and your emotions to be present and aware and available to who you really are, to that deep purpose, that gift you really have to share, which is sourced from what you love.
Mm. You're such a beautiful orator. I can see why you're a good writer. Sharif, you know, this idea of self-love, you know, when we discover the gift, we're seeing this sort of this pattern, I think, in so many of the transformational conversations, again, of adversity colliding with purpose, and then this discovery or awakening to self-love. Do you think, does the self-love come after we start to give to the world, or do we have to discover self-love, do you think, before our ability to give and see the beauty outside? Is it the chicken and the egg? What do you feel? What comes first?
Well, first, I think you have to be receptive in getting that self-love. So,
happens to be step one in Discover the Gift, the book.
That's true. So you have to be receptive.
Oh, okay, hold on. So being receptive the step one?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Receptivity is step one.
It's receptivity. So it's being able to be receptive to what's going on, what's coming to you. So that means that, you know, you're not putting your own roadblocks or your own filters on what you're perceiving. And so, in my opinion, it's a symbiotic relationship. It can start with one way, or it can start with the other. I don't believe it's one set way or another. You can start with self-love, and then go ahead and give that to the rest of the world. But then you can also start by just giving. And I think by when you're giving, you actually get that love from the other person that you're giving to, that then interacts with your own heart and opens you up for your own self-love, because you realize how precious you are and what a great thing you can do and contribute in a positive way to another human being. So that allows you to also do that for you, because sometimes some people have a hard time with self-love. There's some people that are just servers and they go out there and they're wonderful beings that like to serve other people. But I think that also helps to be a gateway for them to serve themselves as well and have that self-love. So I think it's both ways. It can happen both ways. It's a symbiotic relationship in my mind. And I think that it also, each way supports the other one to get there in a higher level. So it's a kind of like what goes around comes around, and it's kind of multiplies itself back and forth.
Mm. Cheyenne, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I believe I think we have to be able to give to get, and we have to know what the receiving feels like to be able to continually give it. And in Discover the Gift, one of the steps talks about the infinity feedback loop and how, you know, it's really that law of the more you give, the more you get, an infinite feedback, that the universe and our world around us is constantly feeding back to us our presence and the impact of our communication onto the world. I do believe that it begins with knowing yourself, or not even knowing yourself. I didn't know myself when I was younger. I didn't know that giving was going to support my healing in a much quicker way. However, I immediately got clear about it because I tried it on. And that immediately improved my self-esteem, because what happens is when our esteem improves for ourselves, no matter how it happens, we then grow with more joy and more possibility. And so the more we can feed our self-esteem, not our ego, our self-esteem, and know that we are valuable and worthy, then we have more energy to give. You can ask some of the busiest people who have the most packed schedules to make time for you and for a meeting, and they'll find it because they're on purpose. They're doing what they love, most of them, and they're active and they're creating the space. So there's always an availability to give more and to create more. And for me, again, when people ask me from all over the world regularly, how do I discover my gift? What I've really come to learn through this process is that the first step is receptivity. And in receptivity, it's being open and available to what's wonderful about you. You know, if everyone who's listening for a moment just took a moment and a nice deep breath and said, what's wonderful about me? And then listen to the positive inner wisdom. Don't listen to all the negative chitter chatter that we're used to hearing in the front of our brains. It's about dropping in deeper and really listening and then making choices from that space, from what's wonderful about you. Mm. And so I think for me, it's where it begins.
Well, I want to give people a chance. I mean, this is broadcast in 171 countries, and I want to give people a chance to maybe take that breath, if we can,
yes,
and just take a big breath in. And I want you, if you can just repeat the question in your voice, because I love your voice. It's so powerful. And just maybe we'll give them 30 seconds or so just to sort of connect with those words, because otherwise, you know, they're going to get busy, and by the end of the show, they may forget to actually do this.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if everyone wants to just get comfortable for a moment, find your body comfortable and relaxed. And as you inhale in a moment, you're going to inhale a nice deep breath into your belly and then into your lungs. And you're going to hold it for a count of four. And during that time, you're going to ask yourself, what's right and wonderful about me? And you're going to listen during this breathing process. You're going to listen to the deep wisdom, the positive inner wisdom of your source speaking to you. And so go beneath the chatter of could, you should, what's right, what's wrong about you. We're going farther beneath that. So together, let's take a nice deep breath in on a count of four. And inhale. Four and hold. Now ask, what's right and wonderful about me? And exhale. And as you continue to breathe naturally, feeling all the space you just created in your being with that deep breath, listen to your source. Hear what's right and wonderful about you. Listen to your next steps on how to activate that, how to share it powerfully with the world, and how to feel more joy in your life in every moment. Mm. And when you're ready, come back to this space that we're sharing together and continue to focus on what's right and wonderful about you as you go through your day. Mm. So you can focus on what's right and wonderful about all those around you.
How beautiful. You know, before we go on, I obviously dig into any more questions I have for you. I just wonder if you can share with people how they can find you. Because I can just hear people thinking, well, you know, if they want to connect with you and work with you and discover your, I mean, documentary, your books and your work, how would they find you?
Well, wonderful. The first way they can find me is Shyam, S-H-A, J like John, E like elephant, and N like Nancy, at discoverthegift.com. And you can also find me on my personal Facebook page, which is Cheyenne Joy Aziz, A-Z-I-Z. And we have a Discover the Gift Facebook page as well. And those are the best ways to find me. And feel free to friend request me. And I would love to connect with you. And maybe you're a good match for being an ambassador of Discover the Gift as well.
I want to talk about the ambassador program because it's awesome. Before we do, though, I just want to sort of dig back in to this. You know, we're at a place right now with step one. Sherif, how many steps are there in the book? And I wouldn't mind exploring a couple of them. Obviously, someone needs to get the book and work through it. But can you share how many steps there are?
Yes, there are 8 steps in the book.
Oh, wow. So that's very simple. I mean, 8 steps. And for you, if you were looking at one of the steps, Sherif, that is, you know, obviously they're all important. And I realize they work in sequence. But what is a step for you that stands out that maybe has had the greatest impact on you personally?
Actually, mine is step one, receptivity. Because I had to learn how to be really receptive and not put my own projected thoughts of what I thought should be said, or, you know, my chitter chatter that how should I respond, or looking at a situation and looking at it from my past experiences instead of looking at it from a new way of looking, like a new experience, like that I would bring in the stuff from my past to put into context, you know, what I thought this should be. And so that was the biggest thing, is being able to be receptive and open. So not as to interject my own self onto either experiences or conversations in my own brain that, you know, so I'm more present, more listening into the now.
That's awesome. And Cheyenne, I'm not going to ask you the same question yet. I want to get to that question, but I'm fascinated by how you together, you and your brother and Sherif, how did you decode this into 8 steps? What was the process of discovery and finding these steps and putting them in sequence? How did that come about?
Well, that's a very interesting question and a great question. It came in multiple forms, which was, we had all this incredible transcripts and videos of the luminaries and the speakers in Discover the Gift, from Dalai Lama, Sir Ken Robinson, Marianne Williamson, Jack Canfield, Chris and Janet Atwood. It goes
Reverend Michael Beckwith,
a dear friend of ours. So it goes on and on of these incredible luminaries and these people. And when I finally dove into the actual body of knowledge and work that was there, as someone who's an academic, I was beside myself, thrilled. And I kept diving in and being like, what is it? What is the conversation? And finally, I woke up in the middle of the night one night and I was like, oh, I got it. Like, it just had showed up for me. And I wrote it all down, the 8 steps. And 8's my lucky number. I was born on August 8th, 1968, and I weighed 8 pounds and 8 ounces for real. And so 8s have just always shown up in my life. So that was a natural, and the infinity feedback has been normal. And then I shared it with the team and I said, this is what showed up for me. What do you guys think? And then everyone went, yes, now we can create the movie. Now we have a structure. And so all of a sudden what had happened was, it just showed up in the middle of the night through this aha moment. But it was from talking with everyone, diving into the work, really diving in and being receptive and open to what was there and what was seeking to emerge. And that's how it showed up. And we agreed then that that was it. And that was the flow. And then I study universal spiritual laws and really got into the learning about them so that I felt like I could be a better teacher of them. And it was such a perfect match, unbeknownst to myself, that it just was one of those, aha, I get it, universe, thank you.
And Sherif, when you, in this process of, you know, you've got three, I imagine there was a big team, but initially the three of you working together, did you find it easy to flow together? Was it as one step emerged? Was there a struggle in the team at any point? Was there, you know, how hard it is for some people to work together to create something as beautiful as you've created? What was some of that like?
Well, we also lived together too.
Say no more. There's the story right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it was, and we're a family that worked and lived together.
Yes, and just to put some little history on that, the first real line in the book is, my brother and I were mortal enemies, wow. which is true. And wow. then we were all living together, creating Discover the Gift.
Wow.
Yeah, we, it was interesting. We all had our strengths, and... You know, we all listen to each other, which is good. And so it was interesting. At times it was hard, you know. I would be, you know, for example, Cheyenne would be like, why aren't you coming to dinner? And I would be working till the wee hours of the night. But it was good. We all had our strengths. One of the things that was great is that we were talking about putting a through line. When I first came to the to Hollywood, I went and I saw this screening of a spiritual movie, and it was really interesting for me. You know, I'd done some business, and I've had various businesses that I kind of ran before then. So, you know, it was cool. It was the glamour of Hollywood and all that, and I went to the screening, and and it was something really jumped out at me. And this was in the initial formations of Discover the Gift. What jumped out was that it was a great movie. You know, it's beautifully shot. But when people really applauded in the movie, it was when there was an interconnection with story of a personal journey of that person. So, in other words, when there were just luminaries and spiritual practitioners talking about, you know, different things and steps to do, people kind of got that, but they weren't as involved. When there was a personal story of somebody, you know, your average person that overcame, you know, some hardships to get to the other side and, in essence, discovered their gift that way, that's when the audience really connected with them. So one of the things that was great is that we all kind of worked in our strengths. And as Cheyenne said, one of the biggest things was that really we wanted to show Cheyenne and her brother Damien's relationship and how when they started off as mortal enemies, and how do you bridge that gap? How do you bring love into a place when it was run by hatred for so long? And so that became our through line, the real story between a brother and wife. And we found that, I mean, a brother and sister, my wife. So we found that, you know, that connected with a lot of people, because a lot of people, you know, are having a hard time with their family, some of their family members or friends, and they don't know what to do. And they feel like, you know, they don't want to basically either lose face, or, you know, they don't want to feel like they're wrong or anything like that. And so, in short, it was a wonderful thing, because we could all work together and we all knew the story from a different perspective. And so then we collaborated to make it into something that's attainable and really touching to the average person that's hearing it or reading it.
Mm. Now, Cheyenne, you're I love the opening of the book, and I can see why so many people do relate. But when you look through those steps for you and your brother, and Sharif just talked about bridging the gap. But what was the point where you started to find each other in this process, and where's the relationship at now? I mean, if you look back, or you look at the current situation, what were some of the harder parts of that journey for you to find that love of each other and love of self?
Mm. Well, that's great. You have great questions. Part of the hardest part of the journey, I think, for us, for my brother and I, was being willing to forgive. You know, forgiveness is a really huge process, and it's huge for everyone. And that's why it's one of the things, no matter where you look and what teacher, spiritual or regular teacher, you might have in your life, forgiveness is one of the key aspects of really transformation. And so we worked a lot on forgiveness. I had to work a lot on forgiveness. And my brother had asked for my forgiveness many, many years ago. Because what had happened was he's my big brother. And we lost everything, as I had shared earlier. Our house burnt down. Our mother died. I was sexually abused as a child. And I was left alone by someone outside of our family. But I felt very alone. All of these things happened. And my parents were divorced. And so I was really alone. And my brother left me alone as my big brother. And he started hating me. He hated me because I was the closest thing living woman to our mother and our life previous. And so I just became the brunt of what he didn't like. I was a reminder every day. And so for us, that caused some real harm in our relationship. And for me, as a young girl growing up without her mom and only men in her life, I looked to my big brother as the person that was going to help me. And for a long time, he was the person that harmed me. And so it's really interesting that when he asked for my forgiveness, it was the easiest thing for me to do because it was the thing I wanted the most to experience in my life, was forgiving him for leaving me and causing more harm in my being. Not that he meant to, because he was just trying to manage himself with all the stuff that happened. However, the forgiveness of the harm that he did cause opened an incredible space for love and for releasing and to find a way to relate to each other on such an authentic level that we never have to, you know, fill our world with not true stuff anymore. We really get to talk about the real stuff that's hard and know there's a level of love there that exists.
And Sharif, for you to obviously, you know, protection of your wife and in that role, and then obviously as a part of this process, was it as an observer or, you know, as a participant in this relationship shift, was it challenging for you? And did you find yourself pulled into each camp, or what was going on for you in this?
Well, actually, when I met Cheyenne, Cheyenne and Damien had already made up.
Oh, okay.
So when I had met her, they'd already made up. And that was what? And we met each other, what, 12 years ago?
In 2001.
Yeah, 12 years ago. So, I saw it afterwards. I didn't have any firsthand experience on the earlier parts.
Was it hard for you when you met them? Was it hard and you saw them together to believe that they hated each other so much?
It was actually it wasn't hard.
Okay.
What it was is that for me, it was harder to actually hear about all the stuff that had happened beforehand because I just couldn't believe it.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't the positiveness wasn't hard, but it was like.
And Cheyenne, did I just lose you there? Are you there?
My brother. Go ahead.
No, sorry. You carry on.
Okay, where he talks about being a self-righteous ass and that his awakening, a lot of it came around the realization that he was a self-righteous ass. And now he at least could say, I'm aware of it and I can speak it, which then created an opening in our family for me to actually have a conversation with him when he reached out, because I knew that he was available in a way he hadn't been before. And I think that's part of how we heal families. You know, a lot of this work is about healing ourselves and healing our families, because when we release the pain and we forgive and we find the gifts in our adversity, what happens is that we feel better and our families then consequently feel better. And then our villages feel better, our communities feel better, and ultimately our children feel better. That is what this work is about for me.
So it really is a legacy piece, which I love. Cheyenne, I want to talk a little bit more about forgiveness because I know that it's such a big piece. I want two questions on that. One is, where does it come in the steps? Is it like step three or four? Or where's that? And the second part of the question is, you know, if you could leave someone, I mean, this is broadcast in 171 countries. If there is something you could give as a gift today for someone in this part of it, you know, as far as forgiveness, what's some advice or what's something someone could do today that would help them take a step in that direction?
One of the things that would help people take a step in that direction is to come back and focus in with on yourself. You know, we need to begin with ourselves. Every great teacher and spiritual leader speaks it. Gandhi speaks it really well. Change begins within. It starts with us. And so one of the practices we share in the book in Discover the Gift is called the Being Right exercise. And some of this work comes from, that's taken from many different places from all over the world, from different teachings. And the Being Right exercise is about notice in your life where you've insisted on being right about something, whether you were or weren't. However, your insistence on being right caused upset, pain, and not good things within a relationship just because you insisted on being right. Yet, what's more important to you is really that relationship itself. So what I recommend is look at the places in yourself where you've insisted on being right, yet that being right has caused a rift and harm in a relationship and someone or something that's really important to you. And be willing to reach out and just say, I want to check in and let you know I realize I was stuck on being right. And what's actually more important to me is my relationship with you.
Hmm. Beautiful. And what step is it in your book, Forgiveness?
Well, forgiveness is part of all of it, and it really is about, it's step one, receptivity, and it's also step eight, which is love, the ultimate gift.
Awesome.
And that's where it is.
Awesome. And Sharif, let's talk about the future here. You know, we've got this amazing, and anyone listening has got a deep sense right now about the power of the work you're doing. And truly, I loved, Cheyenne, how you talked about this sort of ripple out of ourselves into our friends, into our family, into our communities, into the world itself, and really how that impact can be had. Let's talk about, you know, your vision and how people can join arms. You talk about the ambassador program. You talk about how people can really, they can link arms with you in such a powerful way. Can you sort of describe how that can work?
Yeah. Well, we, like you said, well, we said we do have an ambassador program, and we have different levels on which people can join us and be part of our community and be part for a positive change. And so the first thing is we have a global ambassador program in which we have a one call a week that everybody checks in on.
And it's a free call for ambassadors. The ambassador program, when you come in, it's free. You just agree to be part of the conversation of Discover the Gift and to share it with your friends and your community. And then you get a weekly free call on Saturdays with myself and sometimes Sharif and one of the lead trainers.
And it's a way for all of us to kind of support each other in a positive way with our intentions and who we want to be in the world and how we want to feel in the world. So that's one thing. The other thing is we are doing a global ambassador training program where people can learn the steps. And they can go out and share those with their communities. And like Cheyenne said previously, we have people from all over the world that are already part of this program. And Cheyenne runs the program. And then we also have another one that is a global trainer program, where it's the next level, where you go ahead and not only explain and share Discover the Gift, but also share your own gifts and create a platform for yourself in a positive way to share your gifts. Because one of the things that Discover the Gift says is that when you share your gift, you allow the world to share theirs with you. So it's kind of a open invitation with all those people that are in your community to go ahead and find their gifts and share their gifts with the world. And wouldn't it be a wonderful, compassionate world if we all did that and lived within our own beings?
And what's beautiful about the Global Trainer Program is you can get trained individually. We do small groups. People come in from all over the world. And what's beautiful about the platform Sharif speaking of is that when you become a global trainer, Discover the Gift becomes your platform. Mm. Same as an ambassador, just at a different way. When you become a trainer, you're trained very specifically about the 8 steps, how to speak them, how to teach them, and then how to stand on that platform sharing how you were inspired to now live your gift and share it with others. So you actually get to stand on that platform of Discover the Gift becomes yours anywhere you are in the world.
What I love about that, I mean, Jack Canfield is a friend of both of ours and a business partner of mine, but he, you know, with his success principles, he did the same thing, and that became such a powerful medium for someone to be able to be trained in that. And I want people to really grasp what you just spoke about, you know, this development and then the ability to have this platform of transformation, it's and the skills and teaching them. So it really is a sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so I just want to make sure people really heard exactly what you offered there. And I know you've seen Jack do that very, very successfully and develop some great speakers. And I think it's a very, very exciting prospect. We're almost at the end of the show. Is there anything you'd like to add? I mean, I have a final question for you, but is there anything you'd like to add that maybe I've skipped or missed that just to give you a chance to just sort of fill in a blank if I have got one?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to add a quote from Michael Bernard Beckwith, who is a dear friend of mine and Sharif's and a mentor and someone who's just been at our side through this whole process of Discover the Gift. And he says, long-lasting happiness can only come when we are sharing our gift. Practically speaking, we have to wake up every single day asking, what's trying to emerge in me today? What gift is trying to activate itself in me today? What power is trying to become itself in me today? If the question is sincere enough and the love is real enough, then the universe will reveal its secrets to us.
I almost feel like I shouldn't ask a question now. That was the perfect end, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I want to ask you both. You know, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. And I wonder what that means to you both. And I'll, Sharif, if you want to go first. And, you know, what does it mean to have a kick-ass life?
I think to have a kick-ass life means to live in integrity with your own being and not to be afraid to let yourself out, let your guards down, share yourself with the people around you, you know, smile, you know, when you're walking around, say hello to people, you know, give a nice act of kindness that you're not looking for anything in return. Basically be in positive synchronicity with the universe and the positive energy of your fellow human beings and the world. For me, that's what it is. And it's just having the support and of your community, feeling good and helping other people achieve their dreams and goals.
Awesome. Cheyenne?
You know, it's that, as Jack Canfield shares, everyone has a gift to give. It's the essence of who they are.
Beautiful. Well, I'm sad this came to an end so fast. It feels like we've only been speaking for a minute. So I'd love to have you back on. And any way I can help you, I would love to. And thank you so much for sharing your gift today.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been such an honor to be with you and look forward to connecting further with you and all your listeners.
Awesome. And hopefully we'll see you in that beautiful place of yours with a wonderful lake right outside.
I told you the bed's made. I got the food on. Get up here. Well, I'll probably see you at TLC before that, but yeah, just know that the door's open. I have an open door here, so anytime.
Wonderful.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting you in person, David. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, yeah. Dave. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. And it was really interesting. Like I said, you know, I had a plumbing issue. I really didn't have any time. Not that I spend too long, because I really love to meet people on the show. But typically, I really step in with at least an understanding of the journey of the person in front of me. But that was truly a matter of 30 seconds before they came on the show. I was pushing buttons and running in late, and I just really took a breath and just accepted that something beautiful would occur, and I really felt that it really did, and you know, I really commend both of them, and I look forward to continuing working with them. But I want you to sort of think through what you've heard today and ask yourself some of those questions, because what are some of the big takeaways for you? And you know, this idea of letting go of your past to experience the joy. I think that's a big one. I mean, there are so many things when it comes to sort of discovering this gift that's within us. And of course, I mean, it's not just one gift. There are many gifts. But the truly, once we start to live that life of discovery, self-discovery, but we really do have to let go. So many people are walking around with wounded hearts and you know, they really stop believing. And sort of in that sort of struggle, survival mentality, and I want you to really think about that today. I want you to think as you go out about letting go of anything that may be holding you back, because anything we're holding on to, there's that wonderful saying I've used so many times on the show, that holding on to anger or hatred or regret or any of these darker energies is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. And with that being said, you know, I mean, there's that wonderful movie The Wizard of Oz and Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you know, way up high, you know, and I want to play a different version by our wonderful singer today, Israel. So listen back, kick back and listen to this song, and again, think of your own gift and your commitment, really, you know, your commitment to your next step in this discovery and fully realizing it, because it's so incredible to step into it fully, to make life purpose the meaning of life, as opposed to you know, it's funny, I actually went down in Mexico because I was talking to this beautiful Mexican gentleman, and he said to me, he says, the difference between America and North America and the Western world and the way we think in Mexico is that we work to live, as opposed to, he says, so many of the Western cultures which live to work. And I think that there's so much truth in that, but there's also this idea of once we discover our gift, there is no work. It doesn't exist anymore. You don't ever work. You just feel full the whole time, and you're actually doing something. And it doesn't have to be big. Remember the show I did with Oprah? You know, when she says, you know, those beautiful pie ladies. If you haven't heard that show, it's only a couple of weeks ago. But go back and listen to the show with Oprah and listening to what she talks about, you know, whether it's popping zits or whether it's baking pies, you know, that when we awaken that part of us and we start to step into a life of purpose, that it truly does transform every moment. So I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy this final song as we take on today. And thanks for being here, guys.
That was kick-ass.